This is a day we have all been waiting for. Yes. By some inexplicable mercy, namely the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and acting through him, the mercy of our previous acharyas, the six Goswamis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, Vyas, Narada, Lord Brahma, and the personality of Godhead himself, Lord Krishna, and Srimati Radharani, by their descending mercy, somehow we're here at Govardhan Hill. Whenever I'm in the West and thinking of Vrindavan, I think of Govardhan Hill. Whenever I think of visiting Vrindavan, I think of visiting Govardhan Hill. Not just visiting Govardhan Hill, but going Govardhan Parikrama. So this is like the crown jewel of our yatra. The plan was to go a couple days ago. Krishna had another plan. And this particular location is Kusum Sarovara. And the spiritual significance, besides the architectural beauty of Kusum Sarovar, is spiritually overwhelming. Appropriate that such a structure as this was established. First, to describe a little bit about Govardhan Parikrama in general. Govardhan Parikrama itself has its rich history in our Krishna consciousness movement, starting with Krishna himself, making the arrangement for the very first parikrama around the Govardhan Hill. As you know, in the Leela, after when the Leela of Nanda Maharaj making arrangement for the worship of Lord Indra, and he had gathered, as was an annual practice for the cowherd community, to offer appreciation and gratitude to those who had made their bountiful season of production of grains which are needed for feeding the cows, which was essential in their economy. So they worshipped Lord Indra. And seeing all the paraphernalia gathered together, Krishna had the desire to hear from his father what was the purpose of the sacrifice. And when his father explained very pleasingly and logically that all the success of our cowherd community is so much dependent upon rain, because from rain comes production of grain, and from production of grain all bountiful things are there for our cowherd community. And so we offer this annual sacrifice unto Lord Indra. Although Krishna was just a small boy, in a very peculiar way, Krishna began speaking atheistic philosophy to his father, karma mimamsa philosophy, indicating that one need not worship Indra. One simply has to perform one's duties in the proper way. Because when one performs one's duties in the proper way, then all necessities are supplied. So, as long as all this paraphernalia has been gathered for the worship of Indra, let us instead worship the cows. Let us worship the Brahmins. And let us worship Govardhan Hill. Because from the blessings of the Brahmanas and the supplies of Govardhan Hill, all the wonderful things that the cows supply us, which we're so dependent upon, is amply supplied, provided for us. So let us worship Govardhan Hill. And he then began instructing how Govardhan Puja and Govardhan Prakrama should be performed. Little boy, telling Nanda Maharaj, the king of the cowherds, how to worship Govardhan Hill. So we'll go to the place where that Anukut was performed, all the grains and ghee and milk and butter and all the vegetables and all the products were gathered together and prepared, and a grand offering was made to Govardhan Hill. We'll describe that leela. And after the worship of Govardhan Hill, then the circumambulation of Govardhan Hill, keeping Govardhan Hill on one's right side, place all the household paraphernalia and on bullock carts and all the cows and bullocks and gopas and gopis and everyone circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So that was Govardhan Parikrama number one. And since that time, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, Govardhan Parikrama has been likewise observed. We know that Madhavendra Puri performed Govardhan Parikrama. In fact, it was while performing Govardhan Parikrama that the deity of Gopal manifested for him. And following him, naturally, Ishwara Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came here to Govardhan, to Vrindavan, he certainly came to Govardhan. And his mood was so transcendentally enlivened just by being at Govardhan Hill, by seeing one Shila. Mahaprabhu embraced that Shila as Krishna. In fact, every Shila, every stone of the hill of Govardhan that Mahaprabhu saw, he saw Krishna. And each of the six Goswamis, particularly Raghunath Das Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, but we saw when we were at Radha Kund, their bhajan kutirs for each of the Goswamis were here at Govardhan Hill. Sanatan Goswami, in the latter stage of his life, made his residence by Radha Kund at Chakaleshwar Mahadev and performed his chanting and the full Govardhan Parikrama every day. We saw the Shila that at Radha Damodar Temple that Krishna personally manifested and placed his footprint and the cow print and his flute and his walking stick melted into the Govardhan Shila. Very, very clear, very visible, with the indication that Sanatan Goswami could circumambulate this Govardhan Shila 7 times, and that would be the equivalent of the entire Govardhan Parikrama. If such elevated souls could make that their daily vrata, what to speak of ourselves? How much spiritual benefit? And following them, we're going to visit the place of Raghava Pandit when we reach the southern end of Govardhan Hill. And personally, he took Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur on the entire Govardhan Parikrama and the details of the Parikrama that we're going to be following is very much in the line of that scriptural indication in Bhakti Ratnakar of how they performed their Govardhan Parikrama around the whole of Govardhan Hill. So, and throughout the Gaudiya Vaishnav line following them, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur extensively performed for the whole month of Kartik, just like our Brajmandal Parikrama group. They preceded us. They got here and got started before we did and passed through. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur performed the very same Parikrama that we are following. And Srila Prabhupada, you may know from his Leelamrita that in the last few weeks of his life, when his health was so in such a terrible condition that he couldn't move, he couldn't eat, he could speak with just a whisper, but a desire to come here to Govardhan Hill on bullock cart and have his body taken around Govardhan Hill. And when the devotees objected, saying, Prabhupada, in your condition, you'll die if you try to do Govardhan Parikrama. And Prabhupada's reply was, that will be glorious to give up one's body doing Govardhan Parikrama. How fortunate we are to be walking in the same footsteps as the residents of Braja from Krishna's time, and Madhavendra Puri and Ishwara Puri and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who can imagine our good fortune? All the perfected souls through the ages who have come to perform the very same activity, walking on the very same paths, visiting the very same places throughout ages. It's an immense treasure. And we'll try to perform the whole Parikrama in one day. We'll see how it works. We have an optional set of ideas for tomorrow, but we'll try. To do that means we won't visit all the places. Like while we're here at Kusum Sarovar, I've mentioned some of the places that are nearby, not all of which we're going to personally go and see. Over in that corner of Kusum Sarovar, is Uddhava Baitak. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan under the instruction of Krishna to bring a letter to the gopis. Unfortunately, on the day that I missed, we were supposed to go to that very place in Kamyavan where Uddhava read the letter to the gopis, not far from Vrindakund, not so far from Nandagram. And seeing the intense love of the gopis and the state of madness of love of Srimati Radharani, Uddhava, who outside of Vrindavan was considered to be the topmost, most confidential associate of Krishna, like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, is Krishna's dearmost friend. As far as confidentiality, even more so than Arjuna and the Pandavas, according to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, are the members of the Yadu dynasty. And amongst the members of the Yadu dynasty, Uddhava was topmost. Krishna would consult Uddhava and take advice from him what to do in different circumstances. That kind of intimacy of love Krishna had for Uddhava. So he chose Uddhava amongst all of his associates to... The only way to understand the residence of Braja was to directly experience, or rather than explain it to him, he sent him here to directly experience the unequaled love of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj and the cowherds and the gopis and the intimate gopis and Srimati Radharani. He was so moved, transformed by that experience. He simply wanted to throw himself at the feet of the gopis and beg for some dust from their feet with absolute humility. But he understood, how will these simple village girls feel if a prince of royal order threw himself at their feet? They would feel very disturbed. And so, instead, he decided to stay here in Braja, over here, and undergo austerities for a long time. He didn't return right away. He remained and underwent austerities so that he could become a small blade of grass here in Braja, where as the gopis would pass by from time to time carrying their milk products in their service to Krishna, that some dust from their feet might fall, carrying in the air, and fall upon his grass body and benedict him with the mercy of the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. That was the result of Uddhava's association with the gopis. The benediction that he wanted was not something of this world, nor was it liberation from the difficulties of material struggles, nor was it some that he desired to become a gopi. He desired, this is a very essential part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava teaching taught right here at Uddhava Baitak, where the mood was to place oneself as Trinadapi Sunichena, more insignificant than a blade of grass, a little piece of grass, where the pure devotees can trample upon one's little blade of grass body or receive the dust from their lotus feet. This mood exudes from Kusum Sarovar. In this area of Kusum Sarovar, there were many flowering trees where the gopis would come regularly. Just before going to Radha Kund, we walked from Radha Kund area to here. So they would gather flowers from the champak trees and other trees and make very wonderful garlands to offer to Krishna during the afternoon time when Radha and Krishna would meet and perform their pastimes at Radha Kund and Shama Kund. There's a forest area nearby that was known as Pushpaban, a forest where many wonderful flowers could be gathered. And Ashok Van. Many of you have seen very, very beautiful paintings of Krishna decorating, combing Radha's hair and decorating her with various ornaments. This intimate pastime took place here at Kusum Sarovar, near Kusum Sarovar at Ashok Van. In the ceiling of this structure here and the structure over there, you look in the ceiling and you'll see various pastimes of Krishna being portrayed in different parts of the ceiling painted area. And one of the leelas particularly appropriate for this place is Krishna's Vanbihari Leela. And Nityananda Mahajan Das from Vanbihari Mandir is going to accompany us a little bit in this part of our prakrama. He's serving at the ISKCON Center. We'll stop and pay our respects to the Vanbihari deity. I'd like to describe that pastime. There are different versions, but I'll describe one that's in the medium range of complexity. Every morning, when the cowherd boys would prepare themselves for herding the cows, they would make their plan for the day early in the morning. So one morning, it was the morning of a festival that is held every year at Varsana called Janji. Janji festival is a festival where the girls, this was from 5,000 years ago until even today, the girls in the village would spend the day gathering flowers. They would make floral ornaments to decorate the outside of the doorways. And then the elders of the village would come by in the evening and judge the decorations around the doorways of each home. And they would give prizes to those that had the nicest floral decorations, Janji festival. So on the day of Janji, the gopis decided They wanted to come to Kusum Sarovar or Pushpavan and gather the best flowers because they really wanted to win this Janji festival. And Krishna's parrot received word that the gopis were going today to Kusum Sarovar, and so he landed on Krishna's window and informed Krishna, today the gopis are going to Kusum Sarovar. Krishna smiled. And then he started to make very painful groans without even getting out of bed. Oh! Mother Jasoda heard Krishna groaning like this, and she came running to his side. What is wrong? What is wrong? I'm not feeling well today. I think the cowherd boys have to go without me today. Surely the cowherd boys will go without you. Balaram, come quickly. Krishna's not feeling well. You take care of the cows with the cowherd boys today. I'll take care of Krishna. Knowingly, Balaram understood Krishna has some other plan. So very happily he went off with the cows and the cowherd boys. And as soon as the coast was clear, Krishna jumped out of bed and put on a decoration, a disguise. He disguised himself as a gardener. And he gave himself a name, Vanamali. And came straight away to Kusum Sarovar to have pastimes with the gopis. So by arrangement of providence, when Radharani, who was the best of the ornament gatherers, the flower gatherers, was in one part of the grove, one part of her sari was caught by a thorn bush. So apparently they had thorn bushes even way back in Krishna's time. And she was trying to get her sari loose. And as she was struggling, another part of her sari got caught. And then two parts were caught, and struggling, a third part got caught. So she called out, Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, come quickly, help me. But they were in some distant part and they didn't hear. And all of a sudden, a gardener shows up, standing in front of Radharani, smiling. And Radha said, oh, who are you? He said, my name is Vanamali. I'm the gardener of the king. And I heard you calling. Is there some difficulty? Yes, yes, my sari is stuck on these thorns. And so Vanamali helped Radha become free from the thorns, and she was very much appreciative of this kind deed that Vanamali offered. And he said, I must be on my way, I have many duties to take care of, and off he went. So Radha went back and found her other sakis, and they said, Radha, your basket is empty, you always have the most flowers, even more than all of us together. But your basket is empty. What happened? She explained the situation. And the Saki said, well, you can use some of our flowers. That's okay, but the day is getting on. We should hurry back to Varsana to make our ornament decorations. She said, I don't want to go just yet. My mind is absorbed in the sight of this gardener. I want to find out who that person is. Let's go find him. And so they went searching and searching, and suddenly Vanamali came in front of them and said, aha, just see all the flowers that you have gathered in your baskets. I knew that someone was coming here regularly and stealing the flowers of the king. You are to be severely punished. And they said, What do you mean, the flowers of the king? This forest belongs to Srimati Radharani. She's the queen of Vrindavan. What king are you speaking about? Never mind, put down your flowers and off with you. We're not going to put down our flowers. Who are you to give us this idea? So with his stick, Krishna hit the bottom of the basket and the flowers went flying all over. The gopis became very angry. Look what you have done. So they went to accost him. And as they grabbed a hold of him, they felt in the back of his costume a bamboo stick of some kind and pulled it out, and it was Krishna's flute. And they said, "You are not Vanamali, you are Vanbihari." So now what are you going to do? You've spoiled all of our flowers. Krishna said, "That's okay. I'll gather up all the flowers and carry them to the river Jamuna and wash them all and give them back, and they'll all be fresh and nice." And the gopi said, "That's not possible. Look at how late it is in the day. There's not time to go to Jamuna, wash the flowers, and we have to get to Varsana. You make some arrangement." So Krishna smiled, and with his vansi, he put his vansi very firmly into the ground and dug around and around and made this Kusum Sarovar very quickly, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and filled Kusum Sarovar with the celestial waters, much like he did at Shyamakund, and the waters were washed and the flowers were washed. And now for this offense that you've done for Srimati Radharani, you should perform some atonement. So Krishna said, "I have an idea. I will, with my own hand, personally decorate the body of Srimati Radharani. So we can go over to this other structure and see, and as well as at Vandihari Mandir, the paintings of Krishna performing this wonderful pastime, combing Radha's hair, placing flowers in her hair, placing ornaments on her wrist, basically like deity worship, putting necklaces on her, wonderful crown, in all detail, Shringar, ornamenting Srimati Radharani. And very, very wonderful pastime. And then, but the afternoon now is very late. What to do? Because the Janji festival contest, the elders will be coming around very soon in the evening. Krishna said, "Don't worry, I have a plan for that too. I'll personally come and decorate, and Radharani will win the prize." But how is that possible? This is only for gopis. This is only for girls. Krishna said, "I can dress as a gardener. I can dress as a gopi also." So Krishna dressed himself as a gopi and went to Varsana and made the best decoration, and Radharani won the prize, just as Krishna said. So this temple, Vanvihari, has now been given to ISKCON to take care of, and Nityananda Mahajan is with a few devotees who are helping to maintain the worship of that deity. So we'll pay our respects at Vanvihari Mandir. Another very nearby sacred place is Narada Kund, where Narada Muni underwent austerities, he wanted very much when he saw, well, when we do our Govardhan Parikrama, we'll visit or we'll pass by Rasa Stali, a place where Krishna performed Rasa dance. We visited Vangshivat when we were in Govardhan town, you remember, in the evening. And during one season, Krishna performs Rasa dance there. During Sharat season, Krishna performs Rasa dance here. And Narada, knowing that Krishna was performing Rasa dance, was very eager to perform, to witness the Rasa dance of Krishna. But Vrindadevi informed him that's not possible. One cannot enter the Rasa dance unless one has a form of a gopi. And so she indicated, you come here to Kusum Sarovar on the northern side and you take your bath, and when you come out of Kusum Sarovar, your body will be that of a gopi. So following Vrindadevi's indication, Narada Muni came to Kusum Sarovar, took his bath in Kusum Sarovar, and came out as Naradi. And at Narada Kund, there's a deity of Naradi, Narada Muni in the form of a gopi. And he enjoyed very much being part of Krishna's Rasa dance. Then, under Krishna's direction, he returned here to Kusum Sarovar, again in another part of the Kund, took his bath, came out as Narada Muni, and as Krishna had instructed him, he went to Narada Kund, where he wrote Narada Bhakti Sutra. Narada Bhakti Sutra is a book that Srila Prabhupada began translating and making his Bhaktivedanta purports with the intention of making this book available for all of ISKCON. Prabhupada didn't finish it. Some of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada completed the unfinished portion, and now the BBT has available Narada Bhakti Sutra, written by Narada Muni at Narada Kund, some half a kilometer away on the other side of the road, Parikrama Road. The history, briefly, of this place where we are seated right now, the architectural structure, it's a structure that was built in 1750 by the grandson of Suraj Mill, who Suraj Mill was a Kshatriya who was protecting in this area when some Mughal soldiers were invading. He died in the battlefield. In fact, they could not even find his body, but because of his Kshatriya spirit, the Mughal invasion was defeated, and the treasury of the Mughals was used by his grandson to build this structure as a monument in honor of his grandfather, Suraj Mill. And so there are footprints in the center here of Krishna commemorating, not literally Krishna's footprints, but marble figures of Krishna's footprints, and Radha's footprints over in the other side with depictions up on the top. Beyond that is a Dauji temple where worship is being continued to this day. And two co-wives a third wife and another Daoji temple on the other side. And of course, it's the home of countless numbers of monkeys. So, this is a very nice place to begin our Govardhan Parikrama. So that we can manage to complete our parikrama in the course of one day. We'll try for that. We could do it in 2 days, but that would mean, it would mean a number of things. And let's see how we can do. Just by describing these places, you can get a sense of the spiritual significance. Practically daily, Radha and Krishna would come here and perform wonderful pastimes. We're so very fortunate, by Prabhupada's mercy, to also be able to come. What to speak of Nityananda Mahajan, who lives here and serves here. Prabhupada's kripa upon you. A couple of thoughts to share about our parikrama. We started very early, and we have most of our rounds to complete. And I was thinking before we came, and it was again reconfirmed yesterday, when we came back from parikrama yesterday, I met Bhadra Prabhu, a god brother who lives in Alachua, and for some 12 or 15 years, something like that, he's been with the entire Brajmandal parikrama with Lokanath Maharaj. He's been like the organizer for that event. This year he decided every day, instead of Brajmandal Parikrama, he's doing Govardhan Parikrama. And coming and just circumambulating and early in the morning and chanting as many rounds as he can throughout the day as a vrata. And I know a number of other devotees that have done that, and I was thinking at least we can try to do that one day. So we'll dedicate our time while walking in chanting japa, which means we won't have kirtan, and we also won't have other conversation. Just try to focus on the holy name of the Lord. Because through the chanting of the holy name, the whole of the spiritual world can be accessed, and we're here in the spiritual world. The appearance of Govardhan in this world is a very, very wonderful description. And in speaking how Govardhan appears in this world and comes here to Vrindavan, think while we're chanting of the holy names that such glories of Govardhan Hill can be disclosed to us through the medium of the chanting of the holy name. It's described that when Radha and Gopinath were engaged in their rasa-lila in Goloka Vrindavan, Radharani indicated to Krishna that these lilas that we perform are so wonderful. Could you manifest a place that is just perfect for the performance of our rasa dance? And Krishna desired very much to fulfill that request of Radha, so he meditated deeply within his heart of hearts, and from that meditation of Krishna upon Radha's request, Govardhan Hill like Matsya from a small seed-like speck of dust to a stone, to a hill, to a mountain, to a 12-mile-tall mountain manifested in Goloka Vrindavan with streams and flowering trees and peacocks and all of the beauty of Govardhan Hill was manifested by Krishna's Svarup Shakti. Then one time Krishna informed Radha that Brahma has made a request and I have given my promise that I will appear on earth very soon. And I would like you to come with me. Radha's reply is, wherever you go, I will go. But that is my happiness, but it won't be the same happiness without the Jamuna and Govardhan Hill. Krishna smiled and said, that arrangement has already been made. Jamuna has already come. And Govardhan has already come. How Govardhan came was that Govardhan came as the son of Dronachal. During the previous ages, even the great mountains were great personalities. And Drona had as his son Govardhan Hill. So one time Palashya Muni, who was residing in Varanasi, went on pilgrimage to the Himalayas, and while passing through the area, he came to Dronachal and saw this beautiful mountain. This mountain, when mountain appeared as the son of Drona, all the other mountains recognized he is the best. He must be an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, and they literally worshipped him. And thus he received the name even then as Giriraj, the king of mountains. So Palashya requested Drona to allow him to bring Giriraj with him back to Varanasi. There are no mountains in Varanasi. And this son of yours would be such an ideal place to undergo my austerities. Drona didn't want to say okay. But how could he refuse the request of a great sage like Palashya? So very reluctantly he agreed. So when Giriraj was approached, he also agreed to come on one condition. And the condition is, wherever it is that you place me down, I'll not move from there. Palashya said, fine, that's a very reasonable request. But Giriraj knew that Krishna would be performing his pastimes in Braja later in the Dwarapa Yug. So as Palashya, much like Hanuman, had the ability to lift a whole mountain and fly through the air carrying the mountain, he was passing over this area when a very strong urge, overwhelming urge to answer the call of nature, overwhelmed him. So he came here to Vrindavan, sat down Govardhan Hill, took care of his business and returned and couldn't lift Govardhan Hill. And Giriraj reminded him, the condition I gave you was that once you set me down, I won't move. So Palashtya became angry. You've tricked me. You have some other purpose, and you've just used me for your own purpose. I curse you that you will shrink every day the size of one mustard seed. So the scriptures describe that one time Govardhan was 16 miles tall, huge mountain. By the time Dwarpayug had come, Govardhan was 2 or 3 miles tall, and since that time is now much shorter. 80 feet to 100 feet tall. In the tallest places, as we're walking along the path, we'll find that Govardhan just appears along the way. Some say this is because of the curse of Palashtya Muni, that Govardhan is diminishing in stature. But the local Brijbasis say the reason is Govardhan is feeling intense separation from Krishna. And in that separation from Krishna, he's diminishing in size. Because Govardhan simply wants to serve Krishna. In the handouts that you received upon registration, there's a series of verses, and one of the verses is a verse spoken by the gopis, where the gopis describe Krishna, gopis describe Govardhan as best of all devotees, Haridasa Varya, from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hanhayam Adrir Abala Haridasa Varyaha Yad Rama Krishna Charanara Charana Sparasha Pramodaha. The gopis are describing that Govardhan Hill is the not only Haridas, but Haridasa Varya. There are times when devotees of the Lord are given this title, Haridas, just like Haridas Thakur. But sometimes Yudhishthira Maharaj or Vidura are called in this way, devotees of Hari. But Govardhan is Haridasa Varya. If you were to think of all the devotees of Krishna, who is the best? You might think Balaram, because Balaram is the source of all moods of service. So he has to be the best. Or maybe Mother Jasoda, because who has love of serving Krishna like Mother Jasoda? Or Srimati Radharani is the best devotee. But here, Srimati Radharani and the gopis are saying that Govardhan is the best. And why is Govardhan the best? He pramodaha, he is achieving the greatest happiness just by the sparsha, the touch of Rama, Krishna, Charana, Sparsha. The touch of the lotus feet of Krishna upon his head. Daily. Kaliya got some special mercy. One day, Krishna danced upon his head. But Govardhan, every day, Krishna would come, walking upon the hill of Govardhan with the cowherd boys. And the verse goes on to describe that In so many ways, Govardhan would serve Krishna. Nice fresh waters coming down the sides of Govardhan Hill. Minerals to be used for colors and pigments and dyes. Nice caves where the cowherd boys could go during the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter. The caves were such that when entering the caves in the cold winter, they were warm. When the rains would come, they would remain dry. When the summer came, they would remain cool. Nice, fresh grasses for the cows to graze on, to provide very nice milk for all the cows. In so many ways, Govardhan would be serving Krishna expertly and very, very happily. So this is how the gopis saw Govardhan, the best of Krishna's devotees. And Krishna wanted to see Govardhan, wanted the Vrijavasi to see Govardhan as himself, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Govardhan Leela was performed to worship Govardhan, it wasn't just child play. He showed the form of Hari and ate all the offerings personally. So Govardhan is not different than Krishna, but very mysteriously at the same time, the best of Krishna's devotees. There is so much mystery and so much transcendental, elevated pastimes that were performed here at Govardhan Hill. So let us perform our parikrama very thoughtfully on the chanting of the holy name, praying at each place that the mysteries of Govardhan and the happiness of Krishna experiencing his pastimes in Govardhan become disclosed to our hearts through the pure chanting of the holy name. So, other conversation should not take place other than practical things for our execution of our parikrama. And discussing the pastimes of the places. Try like that through the course of this. And it will enhance the experience at the end of the day. Sri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai.